I'm continuing my education, and I called up a buddy of mine, or I ran into a buddy of mine at DEMA, Eric Douglas, and Eric is a DAN instructor examiner, which means he can teach instructor trainers to be instructor trainers. And I had a couple more certifications that people had asked me about, and I had one more certification that people were asking about, and he said, and we ended up doing two for one because we enjoyed each other's company so much. But I drove to his home in West Virginia, and he is an author. He does a bunch of different things, and the interview tells about it. But I met him when he came down, and he was promoting Dan at the Shipwrecks and Scuba Shipwrecks and Scuba. He was promoting Dan, and we sat across the table, my wife and I and Patrick's, and we sat across the table, and he was just a really we hit it off. Had a couple of cocktails together, and we just hit it off. And Jill and I, when he was working for Divers Alert Network, Jill and I had an opportunity to go visit him on a trip back from Moorhead City, and he took us on a tour of Dan, and that was really cool. And then when he moved on and went on to pursue his career as a author, we kept in touch, and it's been really good. I mean, I pretty much have talked to him at least once every 6 months since I've met him. So, I mean, it's nice when you have that. It's a good common ground for people, and it was a great, great opportunity. And technical stuff, I venture to say that's probably something I would do, but he ventured into it. There was a, there's a huge part of me that enjoys meeting people, but this guy is so creative. And the books that he reads or that he writes are just a joy to read. And I'll let the interview tell you the whole story of some of the stuff that he's done, and then move on from that. I mean, the interview was kind of a half-assed thing. It was done over my phone, so sound quality might not be that great, but I think I've cleaned it up enough to do it. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and start the interview. And I don't know if it's actually going to work because of the way that I've got it set up. But so there might be a pause in here that, like, you just heard that start and stop. But there might be a pause in here to get it to work a little bit better. So here you go. We'll go ahead and see how this works. Welcome to Diver Sync, the netcast and podcast for scuba divers. I am here with Eric Douglas. Eric writes the scuba diving magazine Lessons for Life, and he is an author of numerous books on scuba diving and a couple of, what do you call a documentary?
Documentary projects. The most recent one was on war veterans.
Okay.
Yeah. So I write a little bit of everything, but just about everything has a diving connection to it, whether it's the short stories, the kids' stories, or the adventure novels.
Well, you and I were introduced at an Ohio show. Oh, God, it's been...
It was the
6 years,
seven years, something
yeah,
like that.
So yeah, so it's been a long time ago. And as all things diving, we have a couple cocktails together and got to know each other.
Absolutely.
And we've been friends ever since.
Absolutely. It's amazing that liquid lubrication.
Yeah, yes, it does work very well. The you started out with a novel called Cayman Cowboys, and that was published a few years ago. Tell me how you went about building Mike Scott.
Sure. My main character is Mike Scott. He's a international news photographer. So that's kind of my vehicle to get him to go from one destination to another. The first novel, Cayman Cowboys, came out. Actually, the first edition came out in 2005. Most of it's set in Sunset House on Grand Cayman. There's couple scenes in My Bar. If you've ever been to My Bar on Grand Cayman, My Bar has been voted the number one kind of dive, Caribbean dive, not dive as in scuba diving, but dive bar in the Caribbean. So it's a really cool place to hang out by the water's edge and have a beverage or two. But I had been down there. I was doing some training for an industry organization I was working for at the time. And spent a couple weeks on Grand Cayman working with local professionals, and just got this idea for a novel, and that's where the first one came from. My first true fiction work was Cayman Cowboys, I had been a journalist. So I went into this backwards. I started out writing novels and then actually stepped backwards and then wrote some short stories and other things after that. But yeah, my first work of fiction was Cayman Cowboys. It spawned off three more novels, and there's a fourth one in development, or a fifth one now in development as well.
So we have Cayman Cowboys, Flooding Hollywood.
Right. Guardian's Keep was the third one, and then the fourth one was Wreck of the Huron. And they're all destination books. The first one is obviously set in Grand Cayman. Flooding Hollywood, Southern California, so it's diving around Catalina Island and that sort of thing. Plus there's a freshwater lake dive, but you have to read the story to know what that's all about. Then the third book, Guardian's Keep, is set in southern Italy, on the Adriatic side of Italy, not the Mediterranean side. Then the fourth one actually starts in North Carolina. Wreck of the Huron starts in North Carolina and ends up in Cuba. A lot of people see Wreck of the Huron and think it has something to do with Lake Huron, but it's actually the USS Huron, which went down in 1877 off the coast of North Carolina.
So like everything else in novel, based in fact.
Well, actually, you know, absolutely. Now, the cool thing about Wreck of the Huron, and an interesting side story, the Wreck of the Huron is a true shipwreck. You can dive it today. It's actually a beach dive. It's about 100 yards off the beach off of Nag's Head, North Carolina. That wreck and a second wreck about 6 months later were the two main impetus behind the creation of the U.S. Life Saving Service, which then became the Coast Guard, as a year-round entity. Prior to that, it was only about six to nine months out of the year, and most of the crew of the USS Huron died because there was nobody on the beach to help them. They were 100 yards from the beach. They'd run aground, but there was nobody to help them in this storm. They ran aground at night in a big storm, and nearly 100 men died because there was nobody on the beach to help them get off their boat, and they drowned. So, huge tragedy, but actually one of the coolest things is I found the Admiral's inquest into the wreck, the actual wreck of the sinking of the Huron.
Wow.
And was able to include a lot of the real accounts from real sailors. Now, I fictionalized why it ran aground. I came up with a backstory to put it in there, but I was actually able to use a lot of the real stories from the sailors, from the few sailors who did survive, in the book. But a real cool backstory, you probably haven't heard this yet. I got an email about one of the sailors who survived the Huron. Was a man named Antonio Williams. He was actually originally from Malta, came to the United States, got shanghaied into the U.S. Navy, and served 20 years or so in the U.S. Navy. Wow. He married a British woman, and once he retired, he actually moved to England and died and is buried in England. He received a Medal of Honor from the U.S. Navy for his actions during the sinking of the Huron.
Wow.
This was before... Today, they only give the Medal of Honor to combat, to war veterans. He was in the military, but this was when they still gave them out for non-war-related actions. He received a Medal of Honor. I got an email about a year ago from a gentleman who'd read my book, living in England, who has actually been to his grave and is now looking, and the lease has gone, nobody's caring for it now, the family's all moved on or died or whatever, because he's been dead almost 100 years, and he's actually looking now to get a new headstone placed that recognizes his Medal of Honor and this sort of thing. Wow. in the Greenbank Cemetery in England. I'll probably be coming back to you for some fundraising, because he's going to need some help to pay for some.
That's awesome.
For this new headstone. But yeah, this is a U.S. Navy veteran who saved his fellow sailors on the Huron, and is now interred in.
Crazy.
Yeah, you know, it's the internet though. I mean, how the guy made the connection to this went from this shipwreck to a Medal of Honor recipient, and then back to me, and realized it was in just down the street from him where. Where this guy was buried.
And segueing into veterans and Medal of Honor recipients, mm-hmm. Your new project, Uncommon Valor.
That was a fun thing. I'm originally from West Virginia, just moved back to West Virginia about 2 years ago. And one thing, West Virginia is noted for being the most, sending the most people to war per capita than any other state. More West Virginians serve in the military and go to war than any other state per capita. And so what I started doing is I started doing oral history interviews from war veterans, everything from World War II up through Afghanistan. I found out, actually, unfortunately, or fortunately, I was able to get the interviews, but since I did them, at least six now World War II veterans have passed away that I was able to record their stories before they died.
Wow.
But ended up interviewing a total of 46 war veterans, again, everything from World War II up through Afghanistan, and put it together both as a multimedia documentary that's available on my website, and as the book, it's Common Valor. Common Valor. I did see that it was, I felt that it was, that was the amazing thing about all these guys. Whether they were in Vietnam or World War II or wherever they served, every one of them was proud of their service. Even if they were drafted, you know, even if they didn't necessarily go willingly, they were proud of their service. Almost all of them said they would do it again if they, you know, if they could physically do it. They all felt it was a job to do, and they did it. And at the same time, whether they were in World War II or Afghanistan, they all had the focus of, I'm here, I'm doing my job, I'm serving my country, and I'm trying to get back home to my family. You know, that was, nobody wanted to be a hero, nobody wanted to be, they were looking for anything special, looking for honors. They were just trying to do their job and get back home. One of them, your segue, the Medal of Honor, I was able to interview a gentleman who's the last surviving Medal of Honor recipient in West Virginia is Woody Williams. He earned a Medal of Honor on Iwo Jima. This guy is still alive, still kicking, amazing human being. Took out seven Japanese pillboxes by himself with a flamethrower. He had four Marines covering him, but over a five-hour period, he attacked and destroyed seven Japanese pillboxes with a flamethrower.
Carrying
a bomb on his back. and he tells the story of actually the Japanese were shooting him, and the bullets were ricocheting off the air tank on his flamethrower. They couldn't get the right angle to actually pierce the thing or whatever, but he literally remembers this feeling of a jackhammer hitting him in the back, where bullets were hitting the air tank for the flamethrower on his back.
That's crazy.
It's amazing stuff, but yeah. But it's been a great ride. I have fun. I get to get up and talk to divers. The Veterans Project was a project of that I just wanted to take on, and it's been very rewarding. But I love doing the diving stuff. And just about everything I've done in the last 15 years has had a diving connection or an oceans connection to it.
And you have a series of short stories that people can download free?
They're 99 cents.
99, well, that's close enough to free.
That's close enough to free. They're actually, the great thing about being a writer is I can make stuff up. I created my own key in the Florida Keys. I created what I call Withrow Key. That's actually my mother's maiden name is Withrow, so that's where the name
nice.
Of the, you know, I make this joke that I'm terrible about character names, coming up with character names. So just about all of my friends from high school, that sort of thing, show up in my books at one time or another. But I created Withrow Key, and rather than, like with the Mike Scott series of novels, where he jumps around from location to location, I wanted to do a couple characters in the same location and just their kind of local adventures. And that's where the Withrow Key series came from. There's seven of them now, and I can't name them all off the top of my head, or if I do, I'll get them out of order. But the most recent one is called Caesar's Gold. It's actually named for a pirate, and I'm going to make you read the story to understand where Caesar's Gold comes from.
And for the audience, treasure is involved.
Treasure is involved.
One of the questions I asked Eric is, where's this Withrow Key? Because I want to go dive at treasures.
I want to go diving. And for the record, the pirate that's discussed in it was a true character. That wasn't something I made up.
Awesome.
That's I always try to throw some historical stuff in there.
That I mean, in this latest one, Caesar's Gold, you have a disabled veteran.
Yep.
Because it goes with your latest project.
My latest project, I've been doing some work with Dive Heart. Amazing guys. If you get a chance to talk to them, Jim Elliott, the president of Dive Heart, actually I just ran into him last weekend. He was down in Cozumel training another 20 instructors to teach people with disabilities to dive. And they do some tremendous work. There's a number of programs. I don't want to just say Dive Heart's the only one. There's a number of programs that teach people with disabilities to dive. But I've been helping out. I'm doing some consulting work for them, helping them streamline some training materials, that sort of thing. And I was really inspired by what I'd seen with them. So I one of the characters in this new story in Caesar's Gold is an Afghan war vet. He lost both lower legs in Afghanistan, but he's still diving. I made this joke with Jim, actually. I made that he scuba dives, he fights two bad guys, and he gets the girl. You know, as all divers do, of course.
All divers get the girl.
All divers get the girl. Because we're just cool.
Yes. And that's the truth of it. But how can everybody get your books?
Everything's available through Amazon. Both the short stories, only one of the short stories is in print. The rest of them are Kindle e-books. But everything's available on Amazon. All the print books are available, Barnes & Nobles and those kind of places as well. Indeed. The easiest place to do it is my website, which is booksbyeric.com.
Yeah. BooksByEric.com.
BooksByEric.com. All the books, all the descriptions are on there. There's even, if you go to the short fiction section, there's a couple of free short stories, but you can see the descriptions and links and book covers of all the books and watch the Veterans documentary if you're so inclined to see that as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks for sitting down and chatting with me.
I appreciate it.
I do appreciate it. Thanks for having me over your house, and we'll talk soon later. Welcome to DiverSync.
Okay, guys, that brings us to the end of that interview. I had a blast. It was a great time. The drive was a little bit rough to get out there, but I mean, it's West Virginia, and it's closer than you expect, but it's farther away than you expect. But I mean, you pass over a couple rivers, and I don't know why they're not diving the rivers there. I mean, they're mud chug things, but I mean, just a different type of diving. There's a way to do them. But it's funny, the chat room's like, the rum is the most important part of any story. Yeah, it is. But the part of the story is that, I mean, any one of our fireside chats would have been an amazing thing, and I am just astounded by the quality. That was recorded with my phone, and not an iPhone. That was a regular, I mean, couple year old